Because your life now is not meant to be feared. It's not meant to be regretted. It's not meant to be white knuckled, like, I gotta hold on to this moment because I'm not getting any more. Your life is meant to be lived as permanent and as solid and as ongoing and not ever gonna stop. Your life is meant to be lived as if there will always be more opportunities to be had and always more moments to be lived.
The following is a sermon in a sermon series called Romans, the Gospel According to Paul, from Jonathan Borman and Peace Lutheran, a church located in downtown Aiken, South Carolina. For more information and for more audio content, go to peaceinaiken.com.
Really important things that I want to bring home to you. And again, just to get you back to where we're at, we're in this Roman sermon series. And last week, we talked about how we can have peace with God, and that's the perfect medicine for our anxiety. Some of you remember that. That's the perfect medicine for our anxiety. And what the Apostle Paul today is doing is he's going to give you the foundation, which I'm going to hold on that for a second. This is the foundation for why you can live life with life. That's what we have to talk about, living life with life. Now, this is Romans chapter 5. This is a huge, huge deal. Huge deal. It's one of the most important. Did I make a big deal enough? This is one of the most important texts in the Bible, what I'm about to read you right now. Now, if you're a new Christian, you're just coming back to the Christian church, I don't want you to be scared. There's a lot of technical, theological language, and I'm going to try to bring it home in a way that you can understand. But just hold on. This is one of the most important texts in the entire Bible. This is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Consequently, now here's his big, big conclusion. Tune in if you've tuned out here. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. This is God's word. Life is good. Well, sometimes. But life is good. You know, when I hear that phrase, I think of ice cream, summer days, and iced peaches cut in. That's living. It's life, right? Life. There's so much to enjoy in life, even if you're depressed right now. There is so much to enjoy in life. Life is good. You know, I think of living life, I think of hugging my girls. That's living. Or I think of flow. You know what flow is? Like when your attention and your skills and your capacities are all like in line and it's working. Work is working. Like it so rarely does, you know? When there's flow, that's living. Or seeing a flower bloom. Or having a great, intellectually satisfying conversation with a smart person. That's living, right? Hanging out with friends. Watching dolphins jump or deer bound or worshiping your God. And your eyes light up and your faith soars. Life can be so good, and it's meant to be lived. But you know, if I was trying to convince somebody that there was an eternity of that, that the best parts of life would go on and on and on, and that they'd never stop, I'd never go to Adam. I would never bring up Adam. I wouldn't do it. If somebody came up to me and said, you know, Pastor Jonathan, why don't you take a figure from history and try to show me Jesus? Take somebody who people know about and explain the faith and what it means to live and how much hope Jesus gives you. I would have never in a million zillion years picked Adam. Not like Paul. Not like he just did. I wouldn't have done it. In fact, if somebody were listening to it and really thinking through what Paul was saying, there was probably a little bit of pushback in your head, and you're thinking, Paul, why didn't you pick somebody else? Paul, if you're trying to give us like a model or a paradigm or a type, an idea of what Jesus is supposed to mean for our lives now and into eternity, why Adam? Right? Why wasn't it Noah? Or why wasn't it Moses or David, you know, anybody but Adam? Paul, why did you pick Adam as a pattern of the one that's talking about Jesus to come? Because, you know, that's not really helpful to me, not on its face. Because everybody knows who Adam is, right? Everybody knows that Adam is the great Christian death giver. He's the guy. Right? He's the guy who came into the world and messed everything up. Some of you probably sung the hymn before when I was a kid, and we'll sing this one here at Peace eventually, but there's this hymn, and it was super depressing in its tone, as Lutheran hymns can often be, and there's the lyrics that go like this that are just so true. In Adam, we have all been one. One huge, rebellious man. Right? Well, why, Paul? Why Adam? How does he help me get Jesus better? Because when I think of Adam, you know what I think about? I think about rape, and I think about wars, and I think about depression, and I think about alcoholism and drugs, and that's what I think of when I think of Adam. He is the one guy who is implicit in all of it. All of our sin and all of our death. Paul, Why would you say about Adam that he's like Jesus? How is that true in any way, shape, or form? Paul, I'm not getting it. But you know why Paul chose Adam? Because we all believe in him. We all believe in the influence and power of Adam. You all do. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you are Christian or not. It doesn't matter if you're secular or not. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Because this is a truth that you believe. Death came to all people. Everybody believes in the power of Adam. And it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if you know his name or not for you to believe that. It doesn't matter if you think it's historical or not, if you think that Adam is real or not. It doesn't matter if you know the Bible story from the Garden of Eden or not. It doesn't matter if you understand the theology behind it, right? It doesn't matter if you have the terms for man's great sickness, like sin. It doesn't matter if you have theology that teaches you that sin brings death into the world. It brings the sentence of God, which is death. It doesn't matter if you know that stuff. It doesn't even matter if you know great and true theological terminology that refers to Adam, like original sin. Or inherited sin. It doesn't matter if you understand how Adam's passed that stuff all down to us. It doesn't matter. None of it matters for you to actually believe in death, because you all do. All of you do. Everybody does. And I suppose I could quote like Hemingway. You know what? Here's what Hemingway said. He wasn't a Christian man. Here's what he said. All stories, if continued far enough, end in death. Or William Wordsworth, you know, the great poet. What did he say? He said, I can't look at a cradle without thinking about a grave. I don't need any of those guys. I don't need anybody else to show you that you believe in the power of Adam. I just need you. I just need your heart and your mind and your experience to prove to you that you believe in the power of Adam, because you believe in death. And specifically, you believe in your death. And I want to be clear, that is a belief system. It is a belief that you're going to die. You know why it's a belief? Because it hasn't happened yet. You only believe that. It's not a fact. You haven't died yet. But you believe you're going to. To such an extent that I'll bet that you have never imagined yourself living in 2100, living like the Jetsons. You never have. In fact, probably when you sat down with your financial advisor, they've got a time planned out when what? Your money's going to dry up because you think you're going to die. You believe that you're going to die. In fact, you might even know where you're going to be buried right now. My point is this. We all believe in the power of Adam. We all do. We all believe this. We all believe that we are living under a death sentence. And the truth is that that belief inside of you is not just intellectual. And it is not just academic. You do not believe in death in the same way that you believe that 1 + 1 = 2. You believe in death in a powerfully emotional way. In fact, you believe in death so much that your belief in death, think this through for yourself, your belief in death actually impacts your present. It so often does. Why is it that when a great moment comes along in life, you white-knuckle that baby? And you hold on to it so tight because you believe that there aren't more good moments to come. That one day, they're all going to run out. Why is it that sometimes you can experience so much profound regret in life? Right, I wish I had grabbed that opportunity. I wish I hadn't done that. Why do you experience so much regret? Because you believe, deep down, you believe that your opportunities are running out. So death impacts your present. In fact, so much so that what happens when something bad happens in life? When you get scared? We found a couple really nasty-looking bumps on Eliana the other day. Turned out everything was fine. Took her to the doctor. Everything's fine. So, but we found two bumps in 2 seconds flat. I had her hooked up to chemo ports in the hospital and hugging her for the last time. Because I believe in death. And a lot of the time, we live wondering when it's all going to end. When there's going to be a cancer diagnosis, when there's going to be a heart attack or a stroke or a car crash or whatever, we all believe in death, and we believe in it in a way that's not just intellectual and not just academic. We believe in it in a powerfully emotional way. Now, I want to point this out to you, and this is key. That's why Adam is a perfect type and model and paradigm for Jesus. Because there is no figure in human history who has touched so many lives and has impacted people so deeply, except Adam. So this is what Paul does, right? He puts this guy who we all believe in, who is so powerful in our lives, and we all believe in him, and he says, Jesus is like him. Sort of. He's sort of like him. You know, he puts him side by side. He says, sort of like him. This is what he says. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace, Jesus Christ, and here's the key term, overflow to the many? So apparently, Adam is nothing like Jesus. Except in the sense that they're both universal and cosmic. But Adam is nothing like Jesus. In fact, what it basically says in there is Adam was enough, you know? He was, you might say, sufficient to bring sin and death to all of us. All right, he barely eked it out. Like, just barely got the job done. Like if you, okay, you go to the Circle K, okay? You go to the gas station and you're buying a Coca-Cola and there's two guys in front of you. And Adam walks up and he's buying a Coca-Cola for $1.75, and the cashier says, that'll be, you know, boringly, that'll be $1.75. And Adam is that annoying guy who, like, he comes up with $1.50 real quick and then he's sitting there fishing in his pocket for the quarter. And you're like, dude, can you find the quarter already? And finally, he slides it across to the cashier, and he ekes it out. And then the next guy walks up to the cashier, and he buys the same thing. And the cashier boringly says, that'll be $1.75. And the guy fishes into his pocket, And he pulls out two bars of 14 karat gold. And he slams them down on the counter and he looks at the cashier and he says, "Do you think that'll cover it?" That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does with sin. He's nothing like Adam. He overflows with grace for sin. So that when we come up with our sin, he presents this sacrifice to God, and we're all looking at it like, "I think that'll cover it." The point is, Jesus is way better than Adam. He's the second Adam. He's way better than Adam. He's nothing, in fact, like Adam at all. Because look, Adam, look, he just had one sin. And this is the thing about his one sin. It brought judgment. So the judgment followed one sin, and that brought condemnation. That condemnation was death. But Jesus is so different because Jesus, number one, he doesn't bring condemnation. What does he bring? He brings justification. But it's not just that. This, look, there's no one-to-one with Adam and Jesus, because if there was one-to-one with Adam and Jesus, Jesus would have showed up right after Adam sinned, right? One sin, one act of righteousness. Jesus, Adam, Jesus rolls back just Adam's sin. But what happens is Jesus comes after millennia and millennia and millennia and millennia and millennia of sin. Millennia of rape and war and pillaging. Millennia of sin, like anxiety, like unbelief in God's promises. After billions upon billions upon billions of sin and billions of sinners, all of a sudden Jesus shows up on the scene. And he's nothing like Adam. He brings grace so wide and so high and so deep that he doesn't just roll back Adam. He rolls back everything for us, for the whole world. We're told this, that Jesus brought justification for all. Here's your note about it. The gift of Jesus is the worldwide lifting of the death sentence. And the point that I desperately want to make for you today is that that is a belief that you can hold. You can hold that belief. And you can hold it in a way that is not just intellectual and that is not just academic, but that is actually emotional. That you can hold it way down in your core, because the truth is, look, you do believe in Adam. You do believe that he brings death. You believe that he has brought you condemnation. You believe that in such a powerful way that your death, your belief in death, has impacted your present. And what Paul is saying is that there is somebody like him. Somebody who is similarly cosmic in what he has done. Who has similarly touched everybody in this world. Somebody who is similarly impacted your life. Except he's way better. Because he didn't bring you death, he brought you life. And he didn't bring you condemnation for sin, he brought you justification for it. The point is this. Go ahead and believe in Adam. But you are supposed to believe in Jesus even more. Because Jesus is way, way better. He brought life. for all people. That's what you need to know today. Because God means for your life to be lived today. And I don't know how to help you do that except to preach it into you. I don't know how to do that except to tell you the truth about Jesus. To tell you that you have something in Jesus that is far past something academic, something far past intellectual, that you can believe in life. In life. So that you can live life even now. Because what I want you to believe is that Jesus is more powerful than Adam. That your eternity is more certain than your funeral. That your ongoing life is surer than your obituary. Because when you start to believe that, then you can live life now. Because your life now is not meant to be feared. It's not meant to be regretted. It's not meant to be white-knuckled, like, I gotta hold on to this moment because I'm not getting any more. Your life is meant to be lived as permanent and as solid. And as ongoing and not ever gonna stop. Your life is meant to be lived as if there will always be more opportunities to be had. And always more moments to be lived. And you can. You really can because you have this foundation. Jesus' gift of eternal life is more certain than Adam's death sentence. So in closing, I want to ask you a couple questions. What does that look like for you right now? For today. Does it mean that you need to drink less? Stop covering up the despair you have inside. Because you don't need to despair anymore. Does it mean that you need to think more about the then and less about the now? Because somebody in your life has got a diagnosis of death. And so you can cry less? Does it mean like when you have those best moments in life that you can just be in them? That you can just live with life because you got lots more moments to come. What does it mean for you right now? I was thinking about that earlier this week. It was Monday night. We've been getting a lot of rain lately, and Monday night was no exception. We had a bunch of showers come through, and after the showers came through, it was an incredible night. The clouds were dark and low slung, and the light was so soft. And I looked out the front windows of our house, and when I did, I had a call to my girls. I said, you got to see this. And we all went outside. And when we walked outside, there was this resplendent sight. Because there was a rainbow that went all the way from this side of the sky to the other side of the sky. And we ran outside Eliana ran in front of me and she said, "Daddy, let me show you something." And she runs down the end of the driveway, and she starts jumping like only a four-year-old can do, and a stream of water that was coming down the hill. And I looked up the hill, and I saw my bride. And she asked me, "Can I get a picture?" And when she took the shot, I remember thinking to myself that I had this sharp sense inside. This God-given, sharp sense that I didn't have to hold on to the moment. And I didn't have to regret in my life not having more moments like it. And I didn't have to have this inner tinge of sadness that it would all inevitably end. Because through faith in Jesus, it never, ever will. And so there I was, in that moment, alive. And better yet, I was living while I did. See, that's the gift of Jesus. He came to be our life. And he is. So that you can live. And you can live. Try to get your head around this. Forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for people in this room who are distracting themselves with digital bites from their fear of death. I pray for people in this room who are so sad inside. Maybe they're taking medicine, like too much alcohol. I pray for people in this room who are living this life like it's the only life they have to live. Lord, deepen us in faith in Jesus. Help us not only believe in Adam, but in Jesus, who gives us life to live forever. We pray, Lord, that you send us your Spirit so that even now we can live our lives with life. It's in your name we pray.